N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step, I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bet. Cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops there. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is six times distilled till it's just right. And naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything. From the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys, Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
Welcome back. This is episode 490 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and it's just me here again on another solo Sunday. It seems like that keeps happening, but Sem's out there enjoying the last taste of summer here on this Labor Day weekend. I had my last taste of summer last weekend, trying to get it all in before the stretch run here. About an hour ago, as we're sitting here recording on Sunday evening, the Yankees dropped the finale in Chicago, 3-2 to the White Sox, snapping their seven-game win streak as they get ready to hit the gauntlet. That's what I'm calling it. I'm sure it's what other people have called it, but that's what it's going to be starting Tuesday in Texas when they take on the Houston Astros. It's a string of 12 straight games against all teams that they're going to see in the postseason. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of different things. We're going to speed run a few things here because, like I said, it's Labor Day weekend. We just got a little bit to talk about, and we'll get you on your way here. But before we do that, if you haven't done so already, please make sure you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast on the very podcast platform you're listening to us on right now. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review if you haven't done so already. Please understand how much that helps us and drives us up the charts and algorithms and yada, yada, on and on. So if you're a fan of the show and you're a supporter of the show, please make sure you do those two things and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. After we were live on Wednesday. After we were live on Wednesday on NYY Underground, Pete and I sat and talked. We will have some live appearances in September, but not for a couple weeks. But if you do want to check out everything that Pete and the boys are doing over at NYYU, please make sure you are subscribed there on YouTube as well. So this weekend in Chicago went pretty much about as expected. I wanted the Yankees to take 3 out of 4. They took 3 out of 4. But once you get the first three, you want to get greedy and take the final game sweep. Especially the Yankees had pulled within 2 games of the Toronto Blue Jays. They dropped the game there because I believe the Blue Jays came back to win their game against the Brewers on Sunday. And we'll just verify that here right now. Okay. Of course, they're going to make this like the last game that I look up. Yeah, the Blue Jays fell down 2-0 in the first inning, but then kind of just blitzed the Brewers there and won 8-4. So they gained that game back. The Yankees are 3 behind the Blue Jays in the loss column. And let's see what Boston won. So they pulled back within a game of the Yankees for the top wild card spot. So a good day on Saturday. They won. Everybody lost. Today, they lost. Everybody won. So, you know, that's just kind of where we are, and that's why the whole Boone swoon was such a problem, because now you're scoreboard watching as we get ready to hit September. And that's kind of where I want to start here. As I said, everything kind of went as expected in Chicago. The Yankees beat up Chicago on Thursday and Friday. Saturday, they had to come back late, and we do have to touch on something from that game. Then today, Martin Perez, good pitcher, held the Yankees down. And that's the one thing that you worry about with Tim Hill, as you saw in the 8th inning. He gave up a home run to a right-hander. Okay, that's what you worry about with Tim Hill, is that you look for the lane to get him in the game. It was 3 out of 4 left-handed hitters, and you just hope that the righty doesn't beat you, and if he does, he keeps it in the ballpark. Well, that didn't happen, and the Yankees lost. So, I mean, that's kind of what today's games boiled down to. They didn't hit, and then Tim Hill gave up the home run to the right-hander. It's just like the worst-case scenario happened, and then They ended up losing the game. But other than that, outside today's game Sunday, Aaron Judge hit a first inning home run, tied Yogi Berra for fifth place all time on the Yankee home run list. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible the career that Aaron Judge has had, that he is now fifth all time or tied. He's going to eventually get that that tie-breaking home run here in the coming days on the Yankee all-time home run list. That there are only four other guys: Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, and Mickey Mantle. I mean, icons of icons, greats of greats, are in front of Aaron Judge on the Yankee all-time home run list. It's just an absolutely incredible career that we've watched here from Aaron Judge. And, you know, he's had great career numbers off the White Sox. He had three hits today. He had a home run on Saturday. Looks like he might be coming alive a little bit. We got to hope so. With the gauntlet coming up here, starting in Tuesday in Houston, with the gauntlet coming up, the Yankees need Aaron Judge to get back to being the MVP. And he did show signs of life here against the Chicago White Sox. So hopefully he carries that in to the gauntlet here. That's what we're referring to it as, because that's what it is. You just went through this cream puff part of the schedule. The Yankees went 13-2 against the Twins, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Washington Nationals, and the Chicago White Sox. They went 13-2. I know everybody, you want to get greedy there because you had opportunities to sweep, right? You were up 2-0 in the series against the Twins, and you lost the finale to Joe Ryan. You were up 3-0 in the series against the White Sox. You lost the finale. They had an opportunity to go 15-0 through the cream puff part of the schedule here. But if I would have told you they went 13-2, you would have been happy with it. Everybody would have signed for it. 13-2 in a 15-game stretch against, even if they're bad teams, is something that you can't say you'd be disappointed in. They did their job there. Now, obviously, the problem in the middle there is they lost 3-4 to the Red Sox. So now you go to Tuesday in Texas against, I keep saying that because that was an old WWF pay-per-view back in the day. I know they're in Houston. Bang, Houston. The Yankees have to win on Tuesday night. The Yankees can win this series 2-3, and it's not going to feel the same if they lose Tuesday in Texas. And I'll tell you why. It's the same reason why I said that they could have lost 3-4 to the Red Sox, and as long as they won on Thursday, it would have felt different. Now that the cream puffs are out of the way, and you're in a stretch here with 2 weeks against nothing but playoff teams before you finish the regular season against cream puffs, game one is important. Game one changes the narrative. Game one changes the narrative that the Yankees can't beat good teams. Game one changes the narrative around the team that they feasted on bad opponents. That's why Tuesday's game is so important, that they got to get out there and they got to win a baseball game. Okay, they got to get out there and they have to win on Tuesday night to kind of stop that tidal wave there that people like me and the media and podcasts and people on social media and the sports talk radio, that's not the immediate first thing they're going to jump to on Wednesday morning. The Yankees can't beat good teams. 13-2 against the bad teams. Lost them immediately on Tuesday. You got to stop that type of talk. That's why Tuesday's game is so important. Get the win. Change the narrative. And then it gives you two opportunities there to win another game and win a series. I've been pretty steady in saying I'll take 6-6 over these 12 games. Is it great? No, it's not great. I mean, but you're playing four playoff teams. I'm asking them to go 6-6. If you're who we want you to be, and this is what I said I wanted to start here, if you are who we want you to be and are a team that is going to make a deep playoff run and one back to the World Series, you can go 6-6. At the very minimum against these four playoff teams here, because that means that you've won two of those series, right? Even if you sweep the first two and get swept in the next two, or how in a combination of you do it, six wins means that you've won two of these series. And the way the Yankees have played against good teams, playoff caliber teams, you know, since really what, middle of July-ish around there, whenever this has all started, you'll take it. You have to take it. You got to be pretty encouraged by it that there was an uptick in competition and they stayed steady throughout the gauntlet here. So that's why I'd be okay with it, and I'd be pretty happy with 6-6. Obviously, you want to get greedy. You want more. You want to win three series. You want to win all four of them. I don't know. Pick the if pick whichever two you want to win. I'd say the most important two are obviously going to be Boston and Toronto. You know, you love to beat Houston just to get that monkey off your back. And it's like the Tigers, if you lose to the Tigers, it's like I don't think there's going to be the outcry as much as if you lost to the Houston Astros or the Toronto Blue Jays or to the Boston Red Sox. I would put the biggest emphasis on these, on obviously Tuesday. Tuesday's the big one for me. Got to stop the narrative. Got to stop the tidal wave from coming that you can't beat good teams. Just get Tuesday out of the way, win, and we'll take it from there. And then get four wins against the Red Sox and Blue Jays, and then figure out where that other win is going to come from. And you go 6-6, and I'm happy with that. Okay, I'm happy with that going into the final stretch run here against 2 weeks here, where you're playing Baltimore twice, Chicago, and who's the other team that they're playing? Let me look that up real quick here. I'm sorry, guys. Here we go. So it's going to go Houston. Yeah, they're going to go Houston, then home for Toronto, home for Detroit, and then on the road for Boston. And then that's when it stops. And then you can get into the cream puffs again to end the season here, where if you need to stack wins to get to lock down the division, to lock down the top wild card, whatever it is you need to do, you got three against Minnesota, four against Baltimore, day off before you close out at home against Chicago White Sox and the Baltimore Orioles. It's right in front of them. That's why I say you split these six, you split these 12 games, and then you hit September 15th, you know, at 82 and 67, you're in a good spot. You're in a good spot going the rest of the way, because I can honestly see a way where the Yankees get at least eight of those games out of, knock out eight of those games, get to 90 wins, which maybe not for the division. Maybe you don't win the division at 90, but that should get you enough for the top wild card, which is what you are right now. And if you're going to be in a wild card game, you want to, your wild card series, you want to play that at home. So we always like to say here on this show, the summer holidays are like mile markers for where the team is. Obviously, Memorial Day, we took a look at the Yankees. They were probably the best team in baseball at that point. Things started to turn around July 4th. We all know what happened. That was in the midst of what was going on at Citi Field. They were playing poor baseball, and we had felt a different way about them. Now, as we sit here, I'm recording on August 31st. You're going to hear this on September 1st, Labor Day, summer's unofficial end. And we look at the stretch run. What are the 2025 Yankees? We still don't know. The team that went 13-2 against bad teams over the course of the last month, but had dropped series in there to the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox. It was really the Minnesota series that kind of turned the tide here for the Yankees, because they got, coming out of the trade deadline, they got swept by Miami, lost 2 out of 3 to Texas, lost 2 out of 3 to the Astros before they went on that little win streak there against Minnesota, St. Louis, Tampa, lost 3 in a row to Boston, won 7 straight before losing the finale here to the White Sox. So what that's showing you is that's a team that struggles against good competition and can feast on bad competition. Now, what does that mean for the postseason? Well, it means that if you're playing the White Sox and the Red Sox in that first wild card series, you're probably going to be in a little bit of trouble, because right now you're 1-2. You've had trouble with them all season long. You know, let's see what happens when we face the Red Sox to end the gauntlet on September 12th to the 14th here. That series is the end of the gauntlet. And what does the gauntlet look like? That's why we're sitting here, we're looking at the Yankees, and we can look at the standings here all we want to. It's going to tell us, you know, they're 3 behind the Toronto Blue Jays for first place in the American League East. And then if you want to look at the wild card, they're the top wild card by a game. They have a 3-game cushion over the Seattle for the third wild card, and they're up 6 on Kansas City from not being in the playoffs at all. So I think now this 13-2 stretch against, we're just calling them the cream puffs, against the cream puffs here, has kind of cemented them getting into the postseason. Unless things completely go off the rails here and they go 2-10 against the gauntlet, then we might be talking about something different. But if they can play 500 baseball in the gauntlet, come out of it, dominate the end of the cream puffs here, they're going to the playoffs. They're six games up right now with a month to go. There's no reason to think that the Yankees are going to blow this here if they play 500 baseball in the gauntlet. So that's why this gauntlet is so important, and going at least 6-6 is so important, because that's what changes your opinion about the Yankees. Going 6-6 or better in the gauntlet changes your opinion about the Yankees, because now they stepped up in competition. Now they're playing better baseball teams, and they played good baseball against good baseball teams. That's why you have to go out there and at least play 500 ball in the gauntlet. You can't go 13-2 against the cream puffs with the losing 3 out of 4 to the Red Sox, thrown in the middle here, and then go out there and get your doors blown off by playoff teams, because all that's going to do is reinforce the fact that you're a bully and you beat up on bad teams. And when somebody can come punch you in the face, you can't punch back. That's why these next four series are so important to how I'm going to feel and how a lot of Yankee fans are going to feel about going into October. Because if you lose all four of these series, or even if you lose three of these four series, it's just reinforcing what we already know. The Yankees don't play well against good baseball teams. Now, if you go out there and take two of these series, and you're looking at a situation where they played, even though they might have lost two of those series, but they played well in two others, and the brand of baseball looks better, now you feel a little bit more confident going into October. And that's what this is all about right now, as we sit and look at where the Yankees are on Labor Day weekend here. So, as I said, there's not a lot to really discuss about the White Sox series. It went as pretty much went as expected here. We got to talk about Cam Schlittler here, who was great again yesterday, Saturday night, against the White Sox here. And Cam Schlittler, to me, has cemented himself as the Yankees' third starter. I don't think that's up for debate right now. In Cam's last three starts, he's gone 18 2/3 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 24 strikeouts. He looks like a kid that's starting to put it all together and gain the confidence of a big league pitcher. This is a guy I want on the mound in a three-game series with the season on the line. Now, excuse me, granted, Luis Gil wasn't bad today, and I don't think Luis Gil is a bad pitcher. He's rookie of the year. He's got tremendous stuff. I think I can predict better right now, and that might be crazy to say, what I'm going to get out of Cam Schlittler than I am against Luis Gil. Now, obviously, right now, we have a whole month of baseball left to play, and that's why, you know, sites like Freezing Cold Takes exist, because I understand a lot of times people that have podcasts or content creators were speaking in the moment. And I'm speaking in the moment where Cam Schlittler struck out 24 and allowed 1 run over his last 18 2/3 innings. And he looks like the third best pitcher on this team, where if you want to break up the lefties, you stick him. He looks like the guy you want to stick in between Max Fried and Carlos Rodon. He looks like that guy right now. Especially if he's going to throw strikes and command the secondary stuff a lot better than he looks like he has done in his last handful of starts here. Luis Gil is a guy that doesn't throw enough strikes for me. And again, he was good today. He gave up 2 runs over 5 1/3. I mean, you know, the walk after the home run is what you don't like to see. But that's Luis Gil. That's always Luis Gil. That's probably who Luis Gil is always going to be. And I've said time and time again, that's not a bad thing. This is a guy that is what, your third, fourth? He's probably going to be the Yankees' fourth starter next year in 2026 if they don't trade him. Which I would look at doing. I would think you would have to trade either Warren or Heel in the offseason. But right now, I have 3 games. I'm looking at a situation where I'm a wild card team. I need 3 starters out there. Who's my third guy? That's Cam Schlittler. I think his stuff is probably a little better. I think what we saw last night, especially against a guy like Benintendi, he just pumped 99. And I know Hill's got the fastball too, but I think there's just something different. There's something a little bit special going on with Cam Schlittler right now. And that would be one of my guys there in the wild card series. Now, obviously, if you're going ALCS or deeper, Luis Heel's in. He's one of my top four, no doubt about it. And that's your rotation, Fried, Heel, Rodon, and Schlitler. But in the wild card series or in the division series where you probably only need three starters, as we saw the Yankees only needed three to get through it last year, it's Cam Schlitler for me. I'm probably going to post that on a poll on social media in the coming days. You know, who do you want in the wild card series? If you Fried and Rodon and your Givens, I really would love to see what the fan base thinks about that, because I know what I think about it. The other thing that we kind of got to touch on here is the only real thing that annoyed me. Obviously, the loss today sucked. You don't score against a White Sox team, and that's what Girardi kept harping on throughout the course of the series. Keep it close because their bullpen can't keep guys from scoring, and we saw that shake out over the first three games. It's just that it didn't happen today. Is that the Yankees will never learn their lesson. They will not learn their lesson about throwing Devin Williams in high leverage situations until he gives up the go-ahead run in the game that gets them sent home. I don't care, and nobody listening to me should care either, what his numbers were from X to X, whatever the dates were. I think with August 8th to yesterday, he hadn't allowed. We've seen this before from Devin Williams. When he lost the closer's role, he had X number of outings, scoreless, and he looked like the guy. And then they put him back in there because Luke Weaver got hurt, and it was before the trade deadline. So they needed to put him back there. They had no other option. And you weren't going to get a fight from me because I am smart enough to realize that they didn't have another option with Weaver injured. But, oh, he has so many scoreless appearances. And then what happens? Starts vomiting on himself again. Eventually, you have to come to the conclusion, and this is what we say about Anthony Volpe all the time, the player is what the player is. And it doesn't matter if he has X number of scoreless outings, and some of them might have been in high-leverage situations, don't put yourself in that position. Because Devin Williams, was the one like negative light on this series, if you really want to look at it, because you are forced to go into extra innings and use Weaver and Bednar for two, and Doval, where you probably didn't want to use him after he threw 25 pitches in Friday's game, where you didn't want to use him. You were forced to do that because Devin Williams can't get the job done. His ERA is 4.99 on September 1st. He's a negative WAR player. There's a reason for that, because he's not good. The Yankees bullpen for the postseason is set in stone. I don't need to hear any arguments over what this bullpen is going to be in October. David Bednar is your closer, and then Luke Weaver is your setup guy. Fernando Cruz is your fire extinguisher. Tim Hill is your lefty specialist. That's four guys right there. If you're telling me I'm getting all of my starters into the fifth, at least, I don't need anybody else. And then Doval is the wild card. If I can get him hot in a situation where I trust him, he's my fifth guy. I don't need anybody else. The Yankees don't need anybody else. Now, if you're telling me that you're playing back-to-back days and Weaver threw a ton of pitches and you want to have the extra guy, then fine. Or Bednar or whoever threw a ton of pitches, then it would probably go Doval would be in that rotation. He'd be my fifth guy. And then on the outside looking in is Mark Leiter Jr. and, Devin Williams. There's no excuse to put Devin Williams in a high-leverage situation in the postseason. None. With days off, everything being built in. Now, they're going to bang out these wild card games, 1, 2, 3. And if the Yankees are looking at a situation, game three, the bullpen is taxed, you can't put Devin Williams on the mound in a win-or-go-home game. You're begging to lose. Now, granted, he can go out there and strike three guys out and make me and a lot of people look dumb, but you can't put yourself in that situation. I'm taking a tired Bednar, a tired Weaver, tired whoever over a fresh Devin Williams. I don't trust him. I say this all the time. We've talked about this a bunch on this show. How much Brewer baseball have any of us really truly watched? And what are those numbers that he came into New York with? Because what we saw as Yankee fans is him giving up a home run to Pete Alonso in game three of that wild card series last year, and then him just puking all over himself for the majority of 2025 in a Yankee uniform. So how are you going to sit there and tell me that that's an option for you in a win-or-go-home game? You want to tell me you're up seven? Yeah, go for it. Don't get too far away from the phone, David Bednar. But that's where the Yankees are at with Devin Williams. We have to be done with Devin Williams as a high-leverage late-inning option. The Yankees are up 10-3 on Tuesday, and they want to throw Devin Williams out there. I wouldn't do it in the ninth inning, because before you know it, you're going to get Weaver or Bednar up anyway. Or maybe you can get through it. I don't know. I would rather take my chances with him with a seven-run cushion than a three or less or under three or three or less, because that six-run swing there is he doesn't belong in that area anymore. He's proven that time and time again. And Anthony Volpe came to life a little bit here in this White Sox series. He had what I really call the clinching hit on Saturday's game. He made the lead with that double down the line there to put the Yankees up 3 in the 11th. He had a home run, a couple hits. Today he didn't do much, I don't believe. Nobody did a lot today. Where is Volpe? I did go 1-for-3. So he had a relatively productive series, and that's when the Volpe defenders come out and say, see, told you. I'm seeing people online saying it's just a slump. Slumps don't last 3 years. What's my famous line now? If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's not your franchise shortstop. I'm glad that he came out of it. I say this all the time as well. I'd rather be wrong about Volpe and the Yankees win because he does something big for them than to be right about him not being their franchise shortstop. I want the Yankees to win. He's their starting shortstop. I want him to do good. That's why I don't get this idea that I hate him. I'm going to be honest about him, and especially when he's as big of a story as he is, I'm going to talk about him. But people don't understand. It's right in the bio. NYYST podcast. Next year will be our 10th season. We've been around a long time. I've been doing this for a while. I'm a content creator. So I talk about the Yankees. And when he's a story, that's what we're going to talk about. And it's like nobody, no different. We're not going to go deep dive in looking for things to talk about. If he's the story, we're going to talk about him. That's why I banned him and still talking about it. Because it's the story. Now, what we got to look for is, like I said, just like the Yankees as the team, let's carry this over into Houston. Get hot. Maybe this is the right time for him to get hot, man. The gauntlet's coming up. Let's go for an Anthony Volpe heater in the gauntlet. It's all about consistency with Anthony Volpe. It's all about can he do it over 162 and not be a 660 OPS guy over 162 games. Not that he gets hot for a week, hot 2 weeks, and then he goes for a 1-for-40. It's not a major league hitter. And excuse me, we got to talk about Aaron Boone's comments from the other day, because this is just a pure gaslighting that the Yankees do here. This is what Chris Kirschner from The Athletic got this quote from Boone. First of all, he's a more productive player than he gets credit for, really. Where do you see that? The home runs? What about the .209 batting average? The .660 OPS? The 80 OPS plus, what does that tell you? How is he more productive than what he gets credit for? We just hammered his struggles because on some level there were people that anointed him and expected so much. You guys did that. News did that. The organization anointed him. We didn't do that. The fans didn't do that. The New York Yankees as the organization anointed him. And we expected so much because you told us to expect so much. even though he hasn't come close to realizing what we expect and what he expects offensively, and acknowledging a few weeks this year where he struggled even defensively, he's still a frontline defensive player at a premium position that is somewhat productive. He leads the American League in errors. Frontline defensive player. He looks like he's unsure of himself out there. And this is before he started hitting in Chicago. This is what Boone had to say. Now, obviously, he's at a 10-day stretch here where he's gone from over a 700 OPS 4 months into the year to below. We want to send that guy down. What planet does that guy get sent down that's a shortstop? I don't know that planet. It's the one you're living on, because that's the gaslighting right there. Oh, it's only a 10-day stretch. Aaron, it's been 3 years, my guy. 3 years that this guy has been an under 700 OPS baseball player. 3 years. The Yankees are acting like the first 2 years of Anthony Volpe's career don't count. Now, coming off a seven-game win streak where they've made a lot of headway in the standings, where they're back to being the top wild card, and we're within a striking distance. And I say striking distance because you have three against Toronto and you're three behind, even though it's really four because you lose the tiebreaker even with a sweep. We're talking about Anthony Volpe again, because the Yankees think you're dumb. The Yankees think that you aren't smart enough to realize that 2023 and 2024 have existed, where this kid has been a below-average major league hitter. Oh, it's only 10 days. Aaron, it's not been 10 days. It's been 3 years. And he's got the unmitigated balls, the gall, to sit there and ask and to say there were people that anointed him. You did that. There wasn't a group of Yankee fans standing outside Anthony Volpe's house or down in Somerset or wherever the hell Anthony Volpe was, saying, this is it, this is the second coming. You did that. All your marketing, every move, transactional move, positional move that you made led the fans to believe that. That's what you wanted everybody to believe. And now you're mad about it? It's ridiculous, man. That's pure gaslighting. That's what the Yankees do. I wish the Yankees were as good at winning big baseball games as they are about gaslighting the fan base, because we might have had two or three world championships in Aaron Boone's tenure. I wish he was as good of a manager as he is a gaslighter, because we wouldn't be talking about Aaron Judge being the greatest New York Yankee of all time and never winning a ring, or sitting here begging to get Giancarlo Stanton a ring for everything this guy's done for the team, playing hurt, playing in the outfield after not playing for 2 years. We'd have it already if he was as good of a gaslighter as he is, as good of a manager as he is a gaslighter, because that's exact. I don't go look in Webster's dictionary what gaslighting means. They'll put that quote in there. There won't even be anything to words of the English language to explain gaslighting. They'll just put that quote in there. I'll read it again, because it's dumbfounding. There were people that anointed him. You did that. You anointed him. We didn't do it. You did it. And now you're mad because people want return on their investment, their emotional investment. People that bought jerseys, people that bought shirts, bought autographed baseballs. They want a return on their investment. They don't want a kid to sit there and watch a kid that's batting. excuse me. It's batting 210 with a 678 OPS. They don't want to watch that anymore. It's been 3 years. That's another thing. It's a 10-day stretch. 10 days. He hit for four. He's been on a little bit of a streak here for 4 days. His OPS is still 22 points under 700. He's still batting 210 on the year. But he's got 19 home runs, so that's why he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Right, Aaron? Give me a break. I had to bring that up. There's no way that I was going to let those words from Aaron Boone go, even if the Yankees won today. Because win, no win, all it does is change numbers in the standings. It doesn't change the way I feel about the team. I wanted them to win 3 out of 4. They won 3 out of 4. They met my expectations for the weekend. I have no problem with losing today, in the sense that on Thursday, you said, when we recorded Wednesday, what do you want out of this weekend? 3 out of 4. I got it. I can't say like I'm mad now. I mean, yeah, I'm disappointed that they didn't get the sweep when they had the sweep available to them. But I wanted 3 out of 4. I got 3 out of 4. You can't sit there and gaslight the fans, though, man. That's what gets everybody more so than the wins and losses on the field. It's like you straight up lie through the media for us to hear. We'll be a lot more tolerant of the boon swoon and your poor managerial decisions and picking your nose and blowing bubbles while the team is kicking the ball around the field if you didn't lie and just straight up gaslight everybody. So here it is now. The gauntlet begins on Tuesday against the Houston Astros. And it's not going to be pretty because there's no off days. There is an off day. I'm sorry. There's a home off day. There's no travel off day, which is weird. So Tuesday, 8:10, Max Fried against Yes had the probables for Houston up during the game today, but they're not listed on the MLB app. I don't remember the order it is, but it's Javier, Jason Alexander, and Vasquez. Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, and Jason Alexander? Those are three guys. I want to say those are three. Those are three guys, but the MLB app doesn't have them listed. But it's 8:10 for the Yankees on Tuesday night to kick it off. It's the guy you want on the mound, Max Fried. Talking about getting a race back, pitch well against Boston, pitch well against the Nationals. Go out there and shove. Get Tuesday's game. Get that win. Change the narrative that you can't beat good teams. The Yankees can go on a hell of a run here if they get a well-pitched game from Max Fried, score some runs, and win on Tuesday, because that can be a real momentum builder. And then 8:10 on Wednesday, Will Warren for the Yanks, and then 7:40, the finale on Thursday. It's Carlos Rodon. So the Yankees have their two top pitchers going in the series. I hate to say there's no excuse for not winning 2 out of 3, but there's no excuse for not winning 2 out of 3 when you got Fried and Rodon going in this series against the Houston Astros, and you need to prove to everybody that you can beat good baseball teams. Start the gauntlet off with a win here on Tuesday night. That's the way you do it. And the way you guys can do it is by hitting the subscribe button on this podcast platform that you're listening to. I really hope that you guys have done it already. And if you haven't, please do so. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review. If you love the show, please do so. It helps us out. It cancels out bad ratings of people that just have vendettas. And yes, if you read some of the negative comments, they don't even criticize the show. We got one from a Cleveland fan during the ALCS last year. It's just ridiculous. So if you love the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Help drive us up the charts. And make sure you tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We will be back next week to talk about on Sunday. We'll do a show to discuss the first half of the gauntlet here against Houston and Toronto. So join us then, and we want to thank you guys so much for your continued support. We want to thank everybody for listening to episode 490. It's just me, Oos. See you guys next time.